We have been very blessed to have you here. Pastor Bronx said it so great that it feels like family. And there's a settledness in family that you just feel at home. And I hope you feel at home here. I hope you feel as important as everyone. And I remember one year, years ago, we had a traveling evangelist guy that I know that came. And it's his first time in this group, and he's used to the other circles that we used to run in. And that's where, you know, they usher in the speaker through the back hallways, and, you know, the ushers have mics, and they say, the preacher's going down the hallway. Guard the door. He's in the bathroom. Guard it, you know. And so this evangelist friend of mine was standing up at the back, and I said, you know, what are you doing? And I could tell he was trying to get people to look up to him, you know, because when you, and, you know, I don't blame him. That's just, you know, in the old days, your ministry was where you got your self-worth from, you know, what you did. You know, our ministry is supposed to be our job, not who we are. And I said, look, see this room? There's 100 people just like us. You know, and just because you have the microphone doesn't mean we feel like we're more important. And we want you to know that your family, we appreciate you coming. We appreciate the expense and the travel and the time. And, you know, I know that from what I've heard, everyone has had that I've talked to has had a great time here. But we appreciate you coming. And we love you, and we want to thank you for being with us. Because it encourages, too. You know, sometimes when we preach here from this pulpit, we forget that there's people all over the world. And having us come, you come, reminds us that we have a family all over the world, and God's preparing for something wonderful. Amen? So, I don't think I have been with such a sincere group. I can tell this week, and I think if you ask the other preachers, there's just a sincerity here. There's a hunger here. There's just an openness here. Just amazing what God is cultivating in us. And how many appreciate Pastor Dave? Amen. I won't make fun of him, because I found in the past if I pick on Pastor Dave, everyone gets mad at me for picking on Pastor Dave. People just love Pastor Dave for some reason. I don't know why. They just love him. One time I said, isn't it such great to have such a great man of God here? And Pastor Dave is on the front row. And I said, it's such great. And Pastor Dave started to smile and lift his hand up. And I said, like Gary Carpenter. And that time no one laughed. They just looked at me like. But we love you, Pastor Dave. Last service last night was just the best. I don't know why I'm emotional. Being part of a family means that you feel like you're part of a family. And what I think the church, I won't say the church, it's not the church. It's what religion has robbed the body of, is feeling part, having a place. You know, I remember when the Holy Ghost first threw me in the prayer closet. And I prayed until then he threw me into the non-performance closet. And I squealed, my flesh squealed and fought. I remember I moved here. Lord had sent us here almost 10 years ago, and I moved here, and I was a worker, still a worker, just do it differently. And but man, I went to Gary Carpenter. All right, put me to work. I said, go pray. I mean, I banged on everyone's door. I'm ready, and the Holy Ghost wouldn't give me anything. He's like, go pray, and my flesh squealed like crazy. Because it was starving to feel worth something. So then I submitted to the Holy Ghost and prayed and did what we call the message. And I wasn't one of those guys that started off gung-ho at 20 hours a week first time I heard the message. I was one of those guys that started off at 20 minutes, 25 minutes. you know, 30 minutes, an hour, you know, of setting time aside. And I got to that place where I felt so secure in I guess you'd call the wilderness, but I felt secure. The manna was there. My clothes were always good. Food was always good. Well, it wasn't good, but it was there, right? The manna was always there in the wilderness. And then God began to push me out a little bit. And I had a vision, an image that I saw of one time of a computer sitting on stage here at the prayer center. It was a computer and the building was full of children, 5 years old, 6 years old, like my children. And the Lord said, I need someone to send an email to someone else. And it just sat there. And all the 5 year olds and 6 year olds came up and looked at the computer and banged on the computer and tried to send an email, but no one knew how to. They just played with it and fought over it, and, you know, like kids do. And that's when the Lord told me how important it was for us to grow, more important than to do. Because the things He has for us takes maturity, and maturity takes time. I don't think we'll ever feel ready. I personally never feel ready or in charge, or I don't want to say prepared, but personally feel like I got it. I'm good. You know, when the Lord starts asking me to do things, usually it's over my head, I think, until I do it. Because this walk that we're on requires us to be part of the body and to be mature. But I believe there's times that He'll call you forward knowing and trusting that you're going to continue the walk. You heard Tim say in that prophecy, you can't stop the prayer. Your personal time is supposed to always be secure, because we're always growing. You know, for the rest of eternity, we're going to learn something new about God every day. You know, we're always growing. We're always, you know, but He won't wait until heaven, until we're perfect. And for me, I remember being so secure in the closet, not just the prayer closet, but in the lack of ministry closet. That when He started to ask me to do things outside of it, I didn't want to do it. I said, no, I'm this is great. I don't have to think. I don't have to decide what's right, what's wrong, what's God, what's not. I'm right here. I'm safe. I have my manna. I have my clothes. I don't have to think about anything. I just have to pray and build and grow, and that's it. And He started to nudge me a little bit. I want you to do this. I want to go pray. He started to nudge me some more, and it felt so uncomfortable, because it was that step into living a life of obeying and listening and following and sometimes failing. How many know we can miss it? You know, as long as you are determined to do what He wants. Not what you want, not what other people want, but what He wants. Sometimes you may fail. Maybe. But I believe He can fix those failures. We learn sometimes from mistakes. What I've discovered is that you'll never lack when God tells you to do something. When He tells you to do it, you'll never lack. Everything you need, finances, courage. You know, I found courage doesn't come from here. Lord, give me the courage to witness to her. Give me the courage, God. You know, God says, I want you to go witness to her. I want you to go pray for someone, or I want you to to write a check for that person, or I want you to go and even, you know, when I first started out dealing with my insecurity, even just standing in a crowd or saying hi to someone I didn't know took so much courage. When I was youth pastor years ago, I had a youth group of a bunch of fiery kids, and there's one kid in particular. He was real strong personality. Had no problem witnessing, no problem talking about God. It was just strong personality. And we took a group out, a bunch of young people, and one little girl was really shy, invited two of her friends to come to this meeting. And I remember that boy got on to that girl and said, you know, you should have done more. You should have talked to them about Jesus. You should have shared about Jesus and prayed for them. You kind of took the easy route by just inviting them, letting the preacher do it. And I got on to him. I almost knocked him in the head. I said, what are you thinking? Do you know, for that little girl to invite those two people, that took more courage for her to do that than for you to stand in front of 1,000 people. So don't judge yourself. Some of the things God's going to tell you to do may seem so small as he pulls you forward into the next place. It may seem so small. And you're standing here. God says, I want you to pray for this girl or talk to her or whatever. You know, I want you to witness to this. She's not saved. She needs Jesus. And I say, okay, give me courage. You give me courage, I'll do it. Give me courage, God. Give me courage. If you give me courage, I'll do it. Or I want you to give this money. All right, God, you give me extra, I'll do it. Notice that never happens? You bunch of faith people, you. God, give me courage to do it. See, courage doesn't come from here. From the courage doesn't come from him telling you what to do. Courage comes when you step. And the moment you step, all that you need will be there. It doesn't come first. He'll tell you first, and then you have to take a step. And as you step, you'll find that everything you need to do what he told you to do is there. So when you feel that, maybe it's something small, maybe it's something big, he is your teacher, but he's also your guide. You can trust. I find that most people, when they fail to step into what God told them to do, is because they don't trust. Or let me phrase it this way. People who fail to step when God tells them to, and the people who step before he tells them to, they don't trust him with their future. It's a pride. And if you haven't noticed yet, that he likes to have you destroy that pride. I thought when I prayed for a while and believed God for a while, all the troubles would leave. But they never do. I've learned that we have to rise above it and live above those things. The last thing I want to share is your emotions will never agree with God. And I have found this last year, since it was prophesied that we were moving forward out of the wilderness into the promised land, and we had to fight those giants, that I've come to the end of my strength many times and found myself almost like at a cliff where I felt I was going to fall over this cliff. And I felt emotionally powerless, if I can say it that way, to stop or to do what God told me to do. And what it did, it brought me to the end of myself. And when I got to the end of myself, I found that I could hold on to him. And he is my strength. See, it's not just words, but there is a walk where he has to be your strength. And even when you emotionally feel, I'm not worthy, I'm not ready, I can't do it, someone else will do it. You know, it's amazing how you can stand by someone who you think is absolutely the right guy for the job, and God tells you to do it. Like, this guy is supposed to, look, he's ready. When God tells you to do it, you're ready, whether you feel it or not. And it may seem small if you compare what God tells you to do to someone else, but it's not small to him, and it's not small to you. God loves people so much that he'd take one of you and ask you to spend your whole life and only see one person saved. That's how much he loves that one person. And do you know when you got to heaven, you get the same reward as a Billy Graham or an Apostle Paul, if that was what God asked you to do and you did it? So if you find yourself on the edge of your emotions, don't be afraid. That strength doesn't come from there to obey God. It comes from him. If we could only see who we really are, who he really made us, who our Father, whose image we're in, if we could only see that, I think we would laugh at our insecurities and our fears. And so, we love you. It has been an honor to have you here. And this conference, I think, out of all the ones that I've been to, feels so much like family. And to me, that means a lot.